Hey guys, this is the Underground After Show. Just kidding, it's a Handmaid's Tale After Show. So stay tuned, we got a lot to talk about.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey!
Woo!
Welcome to the final episode of
the final countdown.
The Handmaid's Tale. After show on AfterBuzz TV. You okay?
I'm still recovering from the episode. I'm sorry.
We're talking
just holding it in.
Season 3, episode 13, Mayday. It was a trip, you guys. I'm Adrienne Snow, and to my left...
Hey, everyone. Veronica Briga here.
Every single year. I gotta do that.
Three
you
for
stole
three.
My thing. This is Veronica Briga.
Three for three.
Three for three.
Yeah.
To her left, always speaking nothing but the truth, Miss Lauren Hubbard.
One of three.
There you go. Hey, doing it.
And to her left, bringing his chefness, his male presence, Mr. Yes. Chef Beans.
Yes, yes. Chef Beans with the mental cuisine.
Do you cook, though?
Yes, okay. I actually do.
His mind cooks all day long.
Yes. And I guess I've been here 2.1 of 3, because I came back for one episode last season.
Oh.
So, you guys, this is it. As always, we'll have our special segments, our Resist Sister, news and gossip. We're even going to give you a little top three moments of the season that happened this year. So it's all very exciting and fun. And let's just go right into it then. First thoughts.
Okay. I cried like a baby, you guys. I mean, you know, I was just so happy to see something happen after being involved for so long. I'm an idealist. I have hope in my heart, and that was just so rewarding to see. I'm glad they did it the way that they did.
Yeah, I loved it. Like, I didn't cry, but it was definitely, like I said, how last episode was something I've been waiting for. This is something that we've been waiting for three seasons now, and it was an exciting, emotional, like, I was on the edge. Like, there was so many times I, like, got on the edge of my bed and was like, what's gonna happen? I got up, my heart was even beating fast. Like, I was like, okay, chill out, Lauren. Like, chill out. That's how I felt.
I love it.
Yeah, this episode was very intense. I can say that June earned my respect back this episode. I wasn't feeling her the whole season, but this episode, she gained it back with her just taking charge on all different levels.
That's cool.
I felt that it was a good episode. I did feel that, I'm not sure if it was earned in terms of how the season progressed, getting to this point. It felt kind of like, I don't know. I was conflicted about, We've talked about how June, like, I don't know, she should have died. Anyways, let's...
Wait, what was... we'll get into it.
Let's go right into it. So just, let's start off with Canada and the Waterfords. And maybe even just briefly touch on the ending with Maura and Luke. Possibly. Maybe not. We'll see.
Maura and who?
Luke.
Oh, okay. Well, I definitely thought that... The huge plot twist, of course, was Fred turning in Serena. And honestly, when he did it,
yay, sorry.
I was kind of confused because he's like, oh, there is something way beyond Gilead that you wouldn't believe she did. And I'm going in my head thinking, like, what does she do? Mm-hmm. What does she do? Mm-hmm. And he brings back something all the way from season one.
Of course he did.
And I was like, damn, like, you hate her. Like, you, like, the fact that she turned you in, the love that was there that we saw kind of grow in these last three episodes, that boiled into so much hate that he's like, oh, you thought you were going to be free? Guess what? You're going to be rotten in the cell right here next to me. I was just like, damn, Fred. Mm-hmm. I knew you was evil, but this is some low-down mess. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, I was so happy he did it because I did not want to see her free. So I was like, I hate you, Fred, but good job, Fred.
But what did you expect him to do?
Yeah, were you surprised? She sounds really surprised.
would have did that too. 100% I would have did that too. First of all, we're trying to build this relationship, at least in my mind, over these past couple of episodes. And then I'm going to be super vulnerable. You take me over the cannon line and get me captured. Oh, I'm going to think of anything possible to make sure you go down too.
Well, cutting off my pinky wasn't enough. Like, cutting off the pinky wasn't
okay,
enough.
Okay, Serena and Fred. Like, okay, come on. Y'all are not the characters.
I really enjoyed that. I felt that.
Right?
But, no, these two are, in my opinion, they're mm-hmm. two peas in a pod, okay? Mm-hmm. On opposite ends of the spectrum, you know, especially in Gilead, but... they're just they're the same person in a way.
Right.
They're power hungry. They're driven. They're
selfish.
Intelligent. They're selfish. Right. Exactly. So it's a good match. It's a good matchup at least. And karma's a bitch. You know, Serena yeah. got what was coming to her, and she needed to get that because she was getting away with a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when she had the scene with Mark in the beginning, and they're talking about how it's going to work when she's free. I was like, you know, I'm happy that Fred has been taken down, but, like, she doesn't deserve to be free. So when
right.
that came back, that she basically oversaw the rape of Nick and of June, like, basically forcing them to have sex with each other to have her child, I was like, yeah, let's not forget that the whole point of this whole story started with her being
right.
like, I think my husband can't do it, so... I want you to go fuck the driver. Sorry, I dropped my first F-bomb, and now we got that E. Like, and so it was nice to just see her finally, you know, be brought to justice for that. And
yep.
also to just see that moment where she has to give Nicole away, or Holly, which is what I prefer to call her, back to the social service lady and be like, no, this is it, this is over. And to see Mark just really be like, ugh. You
disgusted,
are.
Yeah. Awful. That person, yeah.
Right, because I guess we see that Mark was actually on her side,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
But empathetic,
once he found,
yeah.
He very empathetic.
He
but
thought
once
that
he
she was,
that,
a, you know,
a
victim of the situation.
But once he found out that, he was like, no, like, his face, his whole... I didn't even feel the same, like, compassion coming from his,
oh,
yeah. his body.
Don't you remember the whole time Fred was leading up to him, Mark is like, no, she was a victim of Satan. No,
right, yeah,
everything
right,
was
right.
under duress. And he's like... That's what you think.
Yeah.
And then he dropped that bomb, just like... But I agree. I completely agree with both of you said. Like, she deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
It was coming for her. She
yeah.
needed her justice. So...
I think it's true to life, though, the way that they kind of navigated that storyline. Because I think a lot of times we do want to see... Or we don't want to see, but women are often highlighted or portrayed as victims.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know they're also capable of you know very bad things. And so it's yeah, it was interesting to see how the navigation. I liked it.
Yeah, yeah, it was nice to see that. And also, oh no, did I forget the thought? That oh, it was interesting to see how that. You know, I think we kind of always assume that Fred just eventually became a product of the circumstance of what he was in terms of becoming even more misogynistic. But to see the way he addressed the lady who was interviewing him, he's like, Miss, I can't remember her last name, like Hannah or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Haney, whatever. And the way he focused on, like, how it's... kind of disrespectful that she's a Ms., whereas Mrs. Waterford has, like, more
huh.
of a esteem to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that also, as a reminder to Mark almost, that, like, Mrs. Waterford is still married and my wife. And I was like,
right.
You're just gross.
Well, I thought it was interesting
Fred.
How they're interviewing him, they're questioning him, and they just kind of take his word for it. They just believes.
Yeah,
oh, like, oh,
right.
yeah, I'm going to turn on my... country that I helped build, and I'm just going to tell you everything. I was a little surprised they didn't have any type of lie detectors in there.
Well, sure. I mean, lie detectors are kind of like, but I think it's more of, if you keep asking questions, like the way interrogation usually works, if you keep asking questions, you keep changing the way you ask the questions.
Right, right.
And eventually,
yeah, you can
lying,
do that, but
caught.
Look at the prison they're holding him in. They have him in a 4-star suite. Like, what really is making him tell the truth? Because if y'all hold him,
yeah.
You know, if you guys... sentence him to life in prison, why should he help you? Like, he's not getting anything out of this deal. So I just thought it was kind of weird. Like, y'all didn't have any type of testing in there.
Well, maybe they'll get there. I think it's just beginning stages. But I hear you on what you're saying. But I think at this point, they're just like, okay, how does this world even work? Like, you know, what's going on? Like, break it down basic.
And he's clearly lying. He was talking kind of like
trying to play down his power.
Down.
And that's why I was like, okay, they should have questioned. I feel like they could have questioned Serena and kind of like cross-referenced some
and
of the answers.
Been. Yeah, yeah. They've been questioning her. We just haven't seen it. Because he does reference that in the beginning. They're questioning her and they should be done about and telling her how she's going to go about being free.
Right, and saying we can push some of the... Yeah, but I mean, it just seems like fake to me. Like, that's not going to happen.
Like, too soft.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe. Any other thoughts on Serena and Fred before we... mosey on. Now we'll save Luke and then
So last thought. I did think for a moment that Serena, when she started talking about, oh, I didn't relinquish my rights or I traded them for my baby or something of that. And then he was like, oh, we're going to have to find you a place to live or reference something in that nature. She gave him a look that kind of made me in my head just think, okay, this woman is not even trying to stay in Canada. Like, she had other plans. And in a weird way, I just went down this fantasy of her taking this baby back to Gilead. Did anybody else get, like...
No.
Okay, I just went down the rabbit hole.
I definitely remember what you're talking about. Yeah, she was saying she didn't surrender anything. Yeah. It made... It didn't make me think that she would take the baby back to Gilead. I'd have... No, she turned her husband and they'll
murder
put her on the wall.
Oh, that's right.
But maybe, like, you know, maybe a different part of America. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if she would actually stay in Canada, like you said, but maybe she'd go somewhere else. But I didn't get that from that scene. That's just maybe.
Yeah, there's only, like...
True that.
Two parts of America. It's Hawaii and Alaska.
There was like just some
she could go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I more so got like an arrogant feel from her. Like, look,
I did everything I needed to
do, so I don't know why you're still treating me this way.
Yeah.
But you're not off the hook yet, as we can see.
That's probably what it was. Yeah, like a little bit of arrogance, exactly.
Well, we'll see what happens with them. I'm more than happy to take like a break from the Waterford so they can come back middle of season two. They can pull like a nice Insecure. Don't reintroduce a series regular until like episode 5. Go cool with that.
You talking about Insecure?
I love Waterford's suggestion.
It's true.
Wait, talking about Lord? Okay.
I did not need to see him. I was like, okay. He's back, clearly, but I'm so happy you weren't there for the first three episodes. Okay. Mm-hmm. You guys, I don't have the prompt, but I'm just going to shoot to Lauren anyway. You got this?
Yeah, I got it.
Thank you guys so much.
I got it, guys.
She's got it.
Girl. Let's do this.
What's up, everyone? Thank you so much for making AfterBuzz the ESPN of TV talk. If you're watching us right now on whatever platform, give us a 5-star thumbs up, subscribe, download, whatever you're gonna do. Make sure you leave a comment, tell us what you like, tell us what you didn't like, and just tell us about the show. And we just want to tell you to keep watching, keep subscribing, keep telling all your friends and family, because by doing that, you're helping us do what we love each and every week that we come here. So thank you, guys. We truly could not do this without your support, because we're here for you guys. So thank you all.
Yes.
Love you.
Yes. So much. And thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. I feel like I'm like, I need to be able to say that every single time. Anyways, let's move on to the main event.
Dun, dun, dun. You mean business. You like smack that table. Let's go. All right.
I feel like...
I felt that.
Yeah, you guys thought this was a handmade cell. This is WWE WrestleMania. Okay.
What are you thinking? Yeah.
Okay, so June. Okay, so...
Can we talk about that opening scene?
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah. Lots
How
of thoughts
random,
on that.
Right?
I had so many feelings.
It was intense.
It was.
And there was like a few articles I read because I was like, did I see what I see? Or like, did they take differently abled people and kind of like lead them?
Yes.
And like, were they leading them to a truck or were they trying to imply that they were killing them?
I think they were killing them. Mm. I truly think they were killing them.
And I just think, I don't know. I feel like that's a very loaded thing to show in such a very short scene.
Right?
And I felt that was kind of poorly handled.
I agree. This is what I think. If you're going to show us a flashback of that magnitude and with that much backstory, mm-hmm. why would you give us 2 to 3 minutes of it. That kind of deserves at least half an episode to kind of explain, because honestly, to me, that should have been shown in season one. Mm-hmm. We never really got to see what her transition was like mm-hmm. after she was kidnapped. We just saw kidnapped Gilead. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. we didn't really see where
well,
it was.
We saw the one where they first sit down, and that's when, Off Howard gets her eye.
Yeah, but I mean, like, this was intense. Yeah. And for them to say, like you said, separate the groups, and then it's implied that, you know, dogs are attacking, they're killing in a different mm-hmm. room, and then they load them onto buses. I wish we could have seen so much more of that and learned, like, where everyone else was taken, like, how was this done, you know? Mm-hmm. I just wish I would have seen more. I didn't get enough.
Laura B. from the group chat said, in the book, they were killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. I think the whole point of that scene, and they, you know, they say it, is to show how ruthless, and yeah. she calls them out. And for me, it was just like, I don't know if I need to separate reality, but this show for me always, like, brings home something of what's happening in this country.
You mean putting people in cages?
Putting people in cages and separating families from their children. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my God, they're just, you know, in a way mirroring what is happening in our society. And it was crazy. It was impactful. I do think they could have spent more time on it, but to me it was like, wow, okay, real life happening right now. Mm-hmm. It was intense.
Yeah. I have an article about that.
Oh, did you read it? Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, no, that was just...
I think if you're going to show something of that magnitude, then I think the better, the stronger choice is to give it a little bit more time, to mm-hmm. give it a little bit more room. Because yeah. you can be like, well, this is a horrible thing and this is happening. But, you should honor that's something yeah. that you're showing. Like, but we've talked about how they don't always do the best job of honoring when they're mirroring real life events.
Kind of goes quick, yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of just glossed over, and I wish we'd maybe taken a few more minutes with that instead of the time that was kind of taken with the lead-in to...
With all the soaps and everything.
Yeah.
The
okay.
soaps. They made such a big deal.
I was like, wow, they're transferring packages. Like, something shit's going down.
No, they're just soap.
Did we figure out what the soap was about?
Yes.
Yes.
To murky up the windows.
Oh, okay.
And so the gate wouldn't squeak. Yeah. Like, different uses, apparently, right. which was kind of brilliant, but...
I thought they were making a bomb or something. To be
I did. So.
It was very mysterious the way she chopped it up.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure. I thought she was cooking something. Like,
with soap?
I don't know.
Fight Club.
I wasn't sure exactly what was happening. Yeah,
they create bombs on soap.
But to circle back to the opening scene, to the soap boiling or people dropping soap into her bag, I thought that was a very important scene because we saw how at the beginning, June was very frantic. What's going on to her mm-hmm. taking control over the situation?
Because mm-hmm. yeah.
this whole season, you know, she was all over the place. Let's just put it that way. She was all over the place. But this season finale, I feel like she was more focused on exactly the objective that she was trying to yeah. take care of.
And it showed that everyone was in. Like, right. that no one was going to betray her. At least not in that town. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Lexington.
I was pissed off at,
that Martha.
Yes. Yeah. I was on the edge of my seat like, what are you doing? And I thought June was going to kill her.
Why would she kill Miss Lawrence and not kill this Martha? I was just, not that this Martha deserves to die, but she deserves at least to be tied up. They
right?
let her go.
I was very
so
mad.
Ways to handle that.
I agree. I was very mad that they let the Martha go mm-hmm. after, you know, she's running, she has a child, and she runs away. Someone's going to see her. Mm-hmm. And I knew that was going to be a bad idea when she ran away. I was like,
yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen, but this was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that she gets so upset and she's, like you said, so focused to the point where she points a gun
right.
at Kiki, the little girl.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, girl. Like, get it together. If mm-hmm. you kill this child, like, you're... girl. But what I get, well, since we're talking about Kiki, I will say what part really touched me was when she asked June, will God still love me then?
Yeah.
That broke my heart.
Yeah.
So the little girl, you know, June's telling her, you can be whatever you want. And she said, well, I don't know who that is. And then, you know, she's like, she doesn't know. She's brainwashed.
It shows you how brainwashed. If I can't be a mom or I can't
be
a
wife.
She's like, what would I be? And I was like, oh, that broke my heart.
Yeah.
I was like, girl.
But you know what brought it full circle? Or at least, I don't know, I was a little confused about mm-hmm. how she was that, you know, oblivious to everything. Then when she saw her dad, it was like, dad, I don't know.
Well, she was, so it's been 5 years.
Okay.
And so,
No, she's, no, I understand.
Because I thought she was just, you know, just a brainwashed mm-hmm. little kid. So as soon as she saw her dad, I'm like, great point. Everything just flew out her head.
The thing is that she's 10. So she's only been in Gilead for 5 years. So at the same time where she might be indoctrinated into the belief system, she's also still has maybe not a full memory of the past, but she remembers her father. You know, you're not going to forget someone who played a big role in your life for those 5 years when it's only been 5 years since.
Right.
And so maybe it's listen. I'll say this because this is just what I kind of hinted at the beginning. The writing has just been kind of sloppy. The handling of June this season has been poor. And so that's why I said I didn't feel like it earned this payoff, because they've been going every which way. And like, well, we'll just make her crazy so she'll get to this point of resolution and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, you could have focused on making a resistance for about 4 episodes earlier than you actually did.
Correct.
We didn't get to this new June until episode 8, you guys. So episode 9.
But that's
even.
How June. I think that's how June operates. She's very I don't know what's the word. Instinctual. And when she goes, sorry, that was me. And when she goes for something, mm-hmm. she is determined and she mm-hmm. is focused. And it was so funny when she did point the gun. Well, that's not funny, but when she pointed the gun at the kid, all I thought of, I kept thinking of Chef, because he says June lost her marbles. June lost her marbles. And so I just kept hearing your voice in my head, June is losing her marbles. I'm watching this, but she bounces back and forth. I think for a trauma person, mm-hmm. I think that was realistic to go up and down, but I understand what you're saying too.
I think if for for a trauma person,
survivor.
Or to have go, well, I mean, she's not technically even in PTSD at this point. She's still actively in the trauma.
Right. Sure.
So
yeah.
I would say that bouncing back and forth does not actually make sense, because when the stakes are that high, you see everyone else either playing the game or falling in line. She was going way too far up and down. And also, she should be dead at this point. Everyone, all the articles I
There's
read,
rumors
all
that
like,
she's dead now. She's as we speak.
Well,
okay, wait, real quick, though.
1 second, okay.
Everyone who is watching, please like. There's 120 people in the chat.
133.
Oh, 133
it's
now.
Up, it's going up.
Please
love you guys.
Give a thumbs up, like, subscribe.
Yes. All right, but just to finish up what I was saying, I think that she needs to. If we're all saying it, everyone who critiques the show, if writers, journalists, podcasts, that phone got to go on silent, are saying she should be dead by now, that speaks to a problem with how they've been writing the character.
Yes,
that's a news article I have too. I've got a few news articles,
because we know what we saw about Gilead in season 1, how intense everything was. June has been doing whatever the hell she wants this whole
season. Yeah, we've all
season.
Been saying
like,
that.
We've been saying this, so we gotta.
I don't want to jump to mm-hmm. when, you know, they tried to, got the kids to the plane, but she should have definitely been killed when the trained assassin was shooting at her.
That I didn't think was realistic.
Like,
I was like, okay, he's got a machine gun, and he's not gonna. I think he shoots one person dead, and
he shoots two people dead.
Okay,
and there's a few injured, but
there's also the fact that he's the only one on patrol for a plane that's leaving Gilead.
Right.
There were just certain things, like in terms of the writing, that when you build a world at season 1, you need to be consistent with that world in season 3. Like, if all of a sudden, oh my God, Breaking Bad, if Walter White all of a sudden, like, you get hints of who he is in season 1, they reinforce it in season 2 and 3 and 4. And so you are not at all surprised when he's like, I'm completely comfortable killing a bunch of people, blowing up an old folks home. Like, you're not surprised by that. That's who he is. But you have to stay consistent with that world. And if what you're saying is that it's easy for this woman to navigate this world, to do things that have caused people to have their fingers cut off, their tongues cut off, and all this kind of stuff, and that she can just have one Martha walk 50 plus children across tarmac with one person looking, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I'll just talk about it now.
The rocks and everything.
The article that I read, it basically says, you know, a lot of people are questioning why she's still alive. Basically,
it's saying that she is our guide. If she dies, then the show dies.
Right.
So if they kill her, then the show's over. They're not going to do that.
There's
so
one reason.
That's why they're alive.
It's called The Handmaid's Tale, not June Osborne.
Well, just tell she's us a another star. She's a star of the show, so they base it around her.
We could talk about how much she should be dead, or talk about how unrealistic that was for 52 people. So this is what I thought.
50 plus.
So this is what I thought was unrealistic. Okay, first of all, for her to, like, I mean, we already know she's super crazy, but then for her to be like, this is not your house, blah, blah, blah. I was like, all right, he should have slapped it. No, we didn't say that. No. If it was real, she would have got slapped. But, obviously, you know, that's not going to happen. What I thought was super crazy was how they're all sneaking through the woods, 52 kids, and not one guard sees them. Because if there's really guards on every single street looking for all these missing kids, how do you not hear 52 plus people walking through the woods?
These kids are either terrified or well-trained, because I've seen field trips walking down the street. Kids are loud as hell.
Yes!
And they're just, and it's like, oh my god.
Right.
I mean, were they training for this mission? I don't know.
The baby didn't cry, not one peep. You saw when the cars passed by, everyone got down. Okay, that was like kind of realistic, but still, not one person in the truck or the car saw them.
Well, I think if they're terrified, it's believable. So,
if the stakes are high, I understand that. But at the same time, and I think we talked about this when I talked about how they're trying to turn her into Harriet Tubman, that it doesn't make sense. Yeah, it doesn't make sense that they would move that many people and not have any problems, especially with the fact that we are in a modern age where we have lights everywhere. Mm-hmm. They were already on high patrol because they knew that a Martha had escaped with the child. They could not find the child.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a harder time getting June out at the end of last season.
Right. Yeah.
Than they did getting all these kids
to an
airplane.
Yeah.
Like, it was just kind of, it didn't ring true. And I'm sure that doesn't mean I didn't enjoy the episode, but I would have liked more. I was like, if you're going to take the underground direction, then take it in the underground direction. Spend all of next season where it's just them slowly, methodically getting people out over the course of time.
Right, because it's not that easy.
Like, checkpoint by checkpoint. But what did they cover? Like 5 miles or something?
No, they said it was less than in the woods.
But still, probably at least two or three miles.
I think the rocks were tough. I understand it's a large group of people, but throwing rocks with somebody that has a machine gun, that was a little unrealistic to me that the rocks would cause that much damage. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they can.
Well,
but
they
were
bricks.
They were,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
So I think that was realistic. What I think was unrealistic is that the amount of people throwing the rocks, no one hurt him.
Yeah.
That's what I thought was unrealistic. Mm. I get it that you know, like, he has the gun, and obviously he can do more damage.
Yeah.
But I was like, what, maybe 13 to 20 people came back to help her, mm-hmm. and he didn't get hit at all, and he was just shooting people. So he was shooting. He couldn't really get a good gauge of, like, who was out there.
Yeah,
so that's why I could see why just two got shot and a few were wounded. But it just didn't make sense because, one, if I'm being honest, I don't think that many people needed to go back.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like mm-hmm. 5 could have came back to help her. The rest could have all got on the train, on the bus, the plane with her.
I thought it was more people that they were going up against. When I realized it was just one person, I was like, have you never seen Metal Gear Solid? Like, slide up behind him and put him in a chokehold, my friend.
Right?
Then bash his head in with a brick.
And then not only that, like you said, he's so focused on shooting him, he doesn't see a line of 50 kids walk across. I'm like, okay, that wasn't the most believable either. But it was just like, okay, to me, June, you always have to be the martyr. You always have to be the hero. Let me once again, for the second season finale in a row, not get on the plane, not get on the truck to go to Canada, and let me sacrifice myself and stay here.
I also thought it was odd that when she stepped out into light, he immediately followed her. Clearly, there were more people throwing bricks at him.
Right.
Like, you could let one go and be like, all of you.
Right.
You know, I didn't make any...
But then they won't shoot because it's a handmaid, and, you know, handmaids are precious in the future. That's the only thing that makes sense.
But
as a last resort, it seemed, not as a first situation.
But common sense, you would think, just shoot. Like, these people have been throwing bricks at me, let me just shoot, but...
And they had no problem shooting off Matthew.
Well, that's a different reason, really. But,
God, that sucks. No, because I was going to say Gilead is less trigger happy than the United States, but then you said that, and I was like, yeah,
they're hang happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're hang happy.
They're old school America.
It's tough, yeah.
Guys like that comment? I'm going to get all the chat on YouTube.
This is America.
Don't get you slipping up.
Anyways.
This is America.
It was great to see. It's like how hopeful that all these kids were saved. But at the same time, it just didn't ring realistic. And clearly it's a show. And clearly they still have like real life instances. But they do have people who come on and talk about who. I think there's a person who used to be part of the UN who's like a consultant for the show.
Yeah.
So they have to kind of know when they're
just
overdoing like
it.
There's no way that all these kids are able to get on that plane with just Rita holding down the fort with that one baby. Those are some very obedient children, and I get it. But like, if I were five and I was hella obedient, I'd still be peeing my pants.
Well, you
and
know
freaking
what?
Out.
Actually, I'm gonna correct you. I think we only saw Rita, but when they opened the door, I did see one or two other Marthas in there.
And all the Marthas came. You mean to Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all the Marthas left because they couldn't go back.
No, Marthas came back and helped.
Some came to help throw the bricks.
Sorry. I thought you meant the end. Got it.
I know for a fact one other one, but I want to say there was one or two other ones on the plane with her.
So two Marthas wrangled 100 children on, or
yeah,
50
like three
plus
total.
Children.
Yeah, that's what I want to say because I definitely
it's not
remember.
Not realistic. If you ever gone on a field trip with children, it's not realistic.
It's like one per. It's like one adult, 10 kids, right? Like 10 per one,
yeah.
Something like that.
Come on, guys. But in any case, it was a good episode. Let's just go right into that scene then when the kids do get off the plane and we get to see Luke and Moira. My question was, how did they know this plane was coming?
Amazing.
Who set it up that they... Maybe
so
when they got
look,
in, maybe it was the pilot.
This is what I totally thought. We're
on the same page.
I thought June contacted somebody. I was like, look, I'm seeing a bunch of people there. And I thought that's why Luke and Moira were there. I was like, okay, they're here. But no, they just happened to be there on the day. All these kids. Yeah, I'm like, all right. Like, come on now. Like, you know. And then, of course, we see Kiki, whose real name is Rebecca, mm-hmm. find her father. I'm like, oh, of course, you happen to be there, right? I'm like, you know what? Y'all love to play games. I mean, it's cute writing.
It made me cry.
It was cute.
No, I loved it.
I was like, it's Rebecca and her dad.
I loved it, but I'm like... So
it's very convenient.
Convenient and realistic. Ugh. But I loved it. I'm just saying, like, come on.
Was this something
that
in the
was
chat?
A sweet moment.
Yeah, in the chat, Ryan Shelby said, I thought Nick was going to show up with Hannah.
Yeah.
That would have been...
Nick? Why would Nick show up?
How bad did you guys want to see Hannah?
Oh my God. You guys.
The steps. And poor Luke watching, you know, this other father-daughter reunion. That
broke my heart.
Horrible.
So I honestly thought somehow that Hannah would show up at the house. And I thought when she was walking around looking at the kids, I thought she was going to see Hannah and have a moment. But... that didn't happen. So then I was like, okay, maybe she missed her. Maybe she will walk down that
maybe
plane.
I was hoping.
Right? I was with Luke. I was looking crossed. Like, where you at, Hannah? And you know what? Down. This is what really stuck with me for this episode. Mm-hmm. Because Rita was like, this was your wife. She did it. And if y'all saw the look on Luke's face, mm-hmm. Luke was like, I love my wife and I love all she does. But... damn her, because she keeps sending everyone to me besides my daughter and my wife herself. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that's how he felt. And I know people are going to go off in the comments, but think about it. If your wife keeps sending you other people that are not yours, wouldn't you feel some type of way? Why couldn't you send my daughter? You could send 52 kids, but I can't get my daughter back.
Well, I mean, at the same time, she kind of...
that was...
because she's impulsive.
Yeah.
And then she suddenly had clarity of mind at the end. That lost out on that because she was impulsive in the beginning.
She did. And I'm not faulting her. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I think this is how he feels because he doesn't know what happened. You know, he doesn't know everything that's happening to her. Yeah. But that's just me putting myself in his shoes. He's like, damn, it's amazing what you do, but I wish you could do it for our family.
It was awful to see that. And I was trying to think, you know, from a writer perspective, like, oh, if they send Hannah, does that mean that June has nothing to worry work for? No, because we still have a very strong storyline if Hannah goes to Canada, because now June has to find her own escape. Yeah, so they could have done it.
They could have done it.
Poor Luke. Yep. Oh, that was tough, man.
It was super.
I wonder if Luke... Well, I just wonder if Luke is going to start dating someone else.
Like, this is the last straw. Yeah, man.
We can save that for prediction.
But it's a lot. It's a lot going on.
It's a lot. It was Rita.
No. I'm just kidding.
Right? I'd be down for that.
So I just thought it was cheesy, though. I did think this last scene was cheesy as far as Moira and Luke both being there at that exact
time.
And
Emily.
It
is very convenient.
I thought that was planned, like you were saying, that somehow word had gotten out and they were there ready, and then we find out that they,
I think
it would have
made more sense if they found out like the next day on the news, and they you know, and then it's like a rush for them to go see if Hannah's there,
or if they knew about it because some sort of I don't think
they know about it, just because it's really hard for them to get that kind of information out. Overall, it was a good episode. I do feel like it's a good episode tacked onto a not so good season. So. That's my final verdict on this season. So with that,
I want to make one last comment about June. So at the end, June does get shot. She's still alive. Mm-hmm. But what I notice is that the way the other handmaids were carrying her was kind of like a casket. Did y'all notice that? Mm-hmm. Like, you know how the pallbearers carry them?
Yeah.
It was very casket funeral type, like
sacrificial.
Obviously she's not dead or the story would end, but it just kind of alludes to like how the season ends, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she's
shot, so I don't know if she can have children anymore because she was shot in the pelvis. Oh. So that's another thing to look out for. Mm. But we gotta kind of like cut back and we'll get into predictions with like some of our final thoughts. So let's just go into the top three. So the top three moments of this season. So number three, we agreed, was probably the shooting of off Matthew, which was just kind of the catalyst for the rest of the season. To see her be broken down by all those white women. I mean, to be perfectly honest,
is tone deaf that people of color keep dying. Like, I don't, like, that's very tone deaf
So, and she was just, like, systematically broken down into insanity.
I don't think they understand.
But number two is the betrayal of Serena. So betraying Fred for the baby that she didn't get to keep. So.
That was fantastic. Number two, I love that.
And number one was today, with June successfully getting 50-plus children out of Gilead.
Yes.
Good on ya.
A lot of people didn't think she was going to do it, and I had hope.
I certainly did not
think she was going to do it.
I mean, I had doubts. I was hopeful, but I had doubts.
Yeah.
It just seems so crazy and so out there.
Unrealistic.
But I'm sure of that.
I was very glad it happened.
She's a visionary. She's innovative. She's a visionary, and she's determined.
It can happen, and it does. Those kind of things do happen.
Yeah.
You know, they even happen in reverse, where it was that in a country in Africa where they abducted 50-plus girls. And so those things do happen.
Even 100 girls, 100 black girls went missing with over the course of months in Washington, D.C., and no one talks about that.
Yeah.
Nika Baby from the chat said they made June the white Harriet Tubman.
They did. Where?
We had said that, but
good
thanks.
Times, Underground. WGN, it's canceled, but Harriet Tubman the movie is coming out next year. So,
nice.
Let's go into news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right. So first up, we have Nick. We haven't seen him since episode 6, guys.
Yeah.
So Nick was not in the season finale, according to the showrunner Bruce Miller, because once Nick left June, he basically he left her memory. She said it was like a part of her, the love that they had left with him. He wasn't really necessary for the rest of the episodes. Now, they did say they shot several scenes with Nick.
Okay.
Yeah, but he said he had to cut it. He had make the executive decision to cut his episodes. And they said that they also had a lot of scenes with other people, like some of the Marthas, Rita, and even Emily. They wanted to dive deeper in their story, but they just didn't have the time, so they had to cut those scenes as well.
So, sorry, quick question. So, is he returning, or is that unclear, or it's just...
It's unclear.
If he's still...
They didn't say he's off the show. It just said there was no need for this season.
Limited, yeah.
Right.
Limited, okay.
And then next, there was an interview with E.T. that Miss Brewer did, talking about her character and with the season finale.
Played that Janine.
Yes. Yeah. So, Janine is her character, and she says... I felt really great to be a part of the resistance because I always knew Janine had it in her. And she says her character's heroic turn after multiple seasons of on-screen abuse was long awaited. She says, we finally have built up to this point where we're actually resisting. It was very much something that I've been waiting for 3 seasons.
Yeah, me too, girl.
Yeah. So we're so happy that you finally got it in you and you decided to... let go of all that craziness. We understand why, but and get on the side where you're throwing them bricks. So thank you.
Yeah.
And then lastly, there was an interview that Joseph did with the Independent and talking about his character.
Joseph Fiennes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, kind of what we mentioned earlier. Well, one interview, he said that he was actually very happy to see his character's downfall.
Nice.
And then, but with this interview, he said, the last thing I want to do is talk Handmaids and then Trump's administration.
Hello?
But somehow, you can't not equate some things. So you look at those Republican leaders who are not standing up, and they are all Fred. And that's what I will end it with.
I've been thinking this. I've been saying this.
No
I've been
one
insinuating
on the panel
this.
Said it. Joseph Fiennes said it.
What he said to the Independent.
I hinted to it.
I mean, we didn't see it tonight, is what I'm trying to say. So, with that, let's go into Resist Sister.
Okay, cool. There it is. Yeah. I love it. All right, so this week it's a... I don't know if you guys are going to think that's a little cheesy, but I just felt a little bit inspired by this episode. There was a lot of solidarity in this episode, right? So many people had to come together to make this, however unrealistic it may be, but it was a very nice ending. It was a very, there's hope for the future. There was a lot of resistance in this episode and executed well. So my Resist Sister goes out to all the activists out there fighting, every single day, no matter what you do, big and small. So keep the good fight, men and women, and there's so much to fight for. Every day I have to read awful stories in the news, and, there's activists, that are tortured for what they do, they're murdered for what they do, and so just keep fighting the good fight. That's it. Resist, sister.
Yes.
And brothers.
Yes. All right. Well, let's just do a final, I have one last thing I want to say and round up. Semi, what you would predict for season 4?
You're up.
I have one last thing that I want to say. I did like how June stepped up and just made things happen, even though I felt like this episode was kind of cheesy on a couple of different levels. Mm-hmm. And as far as my predictions, I feel as though a few of the Marthas that came off the plane is going to somehow be a part of the trial with the Waterfords in some capacity. In some capacity, and we're going to see more of Hannah this next season.
I hope so. I like that. Okay. I guess my last thing to say to everyone watching, even though we were super hard on the episode, I can personally say I loved it. I think Veronica loved it. I don't know about the two at the end, but I loved it, even though it was cheesy and unrealistic. It was what I've been waiting for. I definitely love the fact that they got the kids out because, like I said, I was skeptical. And then my prediction for the future, I think Luke may finally have to start looking other places as well because it's been 5 years now and he's like, dang, girl, where are you? But as far as June and Hannah, I feel like we will see maybe June get to reunite with Hannah. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that at least one of them make it to Canada. That's my hopes.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just thinking if these writers still all make it to Canada.
Right.
And then, yeah, anyway, I won't get into it. We did that. But, yeah, no, I'm actually scared for the next season because there's going to be repercussions for this that they did. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to see people on the wall. You know, I don't want to see people dying. How's it going to play out? Mm-hmm. That Martha went and spoke, and I don't know what she said, but the lady from that, Lexington. You know, that got away from Lexington has intel, and she's terrified and probably going to speak. So, you know, where are they going to hide June? Like, are they just going to bring her back? I have so many questions of how this will play out. So, and it's, I don't know, it's terrifying to think of what could happen.
Overall, I think that it would be nice if for season four they kind of expand the world out a bit. So,
yeah,
we get to see a little bit more of Canada than June. Like, if like, hey, with Lawrence, even if you want to just put June a little bit on ice for the first two episodes to kind of get us into, like, what is this new world for these children? What is this having the trial of a commander and his wife happening in Canada as part of America? So people are really getting to see, like, what this world is about. Because for the most part, they have no idea what's really happening in Gilead. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I want to see, is just, like, kind of a world expansion. And that's all I got to say for this episode and season of The Handmaid's Tale on AfterBuzz TV. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. And where can they follow you?
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for watching. You can find me online at Veronica, the letter B, online.
And you can find me at Lauren the Truth. My name is Lauren.
And you can find me at Chef_Beans with the Z.
Okay, that's it, you guys. Go out into the real world and make some change.
That's vote. Right. Be an activist.
2020.
Be inspired.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.